thanks for having me. So as some people who've come to more Samba XP conferences might know, I like to talk about Samba on small systems. So currently, Andreas? So currently the system I'm using for my reference is hanging right here. The nice part about running small embedded service is that you can just carry them towards your presentation while powering them off your USB slots. So this is my demo system here. We'll go for that about in a second. So just for those who haven't been to any of my previous talks about Samba and small systems, just a small intro about myself. I'm a computational biologist. I'm an open source developer, mostly working on Samba in the time I have these days, but I got started on the other side of Windows compatibility on Wine. I've been a Samba team member for a couple of years now, and I'm the crazy person who wrote the internal DNS server for Samba, which has been fun so far. And a bit about this talk, so what the hell is this all about? We keep getting people who are asking about Samba and getting it scaled small. We see a lot of presentations, like on this conference, about getting Samba to scale really, really big, but the other end of the spectrum is usually missing, and we have a lot of people asking about this. I'll explain a bit why we actually want to bother about this, and there's a couple of problems that you will see. I'm going to come ahead with a couple of suggestions on how to actually fix it, because this being not a keynote, I'm not allowed to only moan and complain. I actually have to present some solutions. So, yeah, part of the problem is that Samba traditionally has been focusing on huge installs. And I mean, that's incredible technology, everything that goes into, I mean, large clustered Samba installations, CTDB is really, really awesome. I like the technology. It's really, really cool. I actually also managed at some point to get clustered Samba going to work on like small embedded clusters, so basically I could carry a Samba cluster around in a bag, so that was also fun. So it's a great technical challenge, and it also makes Samba web scale, which is always great. Yeah, so apparently you want to have that. A lot of people were talking about cloud things, and we will have more talk about cloud things, so I just want to make sure. We're working hard on making Samba web scale, but I'm talking about like more droplet scale here. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is that for the small installs, we don't ever test these because, yeah, I mean, there's lots of people having a lot of interest in the huge installs, but the small installs, yeah, nobody really looked at that. And as Trish likes to say, untested code is broken code. The same applies for setups, so untested setups are broken setups. And yeah, the thing is, looking at our code, or looking at the binaries that we produce, back in the 3.0 days, it was really nice and small. And it started growing afterwards quite a bit, as you will see later in this talk. And nobody really noticed, apart from a couple of OEM vendors who were trying to build NAS devices and suddenly found that if they were running with the latest Samba, they had to plug more RAM into their boxes because otherwise the binary wouldn't fit anymore. And that is the reason why if you buy a small NAS box and it runs Samba, you're very likely to still see a Samba 3.0 version running on that thing. Or maybe Samba 3.2, very unlikely anything later until it's a larger box. And I mean, that sucks because I mean, that's why do we want to bother? I mean, if you're a home user, you don't care about like Active Directory. I don't, if I have a NAS box at home, I don't want to go and authenticate all my users at home over my NAS box. The three users I have, I can just like create them, or much more likely, I actually have the NAS box because I want to share files with these people, so not stop them from accessing files. So yeah, I don't care about Active Directory for a small NAS box. I don't have a scale-out file system, I don't have clustered whatever. I just want to get like a couple of files sitting on a USB drive or some other hard disk out and available on the network. So all I care is basically on the client side, I want to like click on something, have a folder where all my files are. I don't care about the rest, so I don't need a lot of things. So home users run these small cheap NAS boxes just because that's what they give them, but these NAS boxes are stuck on 3.0 or 3.2, and as the Windows client side is moving quite rapidly towards 8.something, whatever comes next, supporting these 3.0 NAS boxes is getting harder and harder, and people are missing out on a couple of nice features in SMB 2 and 3 that probably would be nice to have even on a home network. So, I mean, Wi-Fi on my home network is unreliable. Not having like my file transfers break just because I walk from my office to my living room and Wi-Fi interrupts in the meantime, that would be nice. So how can we get new features to the people who run small NAS boxes? Well, we have to make sure that at least like the core part of Samba, so SMBD, the file server part, can be made small enough for people to actually ship it with NAS boxes. So my reference implementation for the whole thing is actually pretty decent hardware compared to many of the NAS boxes, at least RAM-wise. So the storage access is kind of sucky because it's USB 2, but I mean the compute power for it is decent. I mean the 700 megahertz ARM chip and 512 megs of RAM. I mean they really win the day compared to what I have in NAS. So just as a small demo, why I don't actually have a demo this time, I'm just timing for the talk. We'll run a configure. And I just leave that running while I continue with the talk. It takes a while to start up, but before I get started, this actually is the Pi. Yeah, so I'm not, nothing in my sleeve. So let's get back. So I decided to like go and look at the history a bit. So I just checked out a bunch of old Samba versions and looked at the evolution of our SMBD binary size. And it seems like something happened between 3.0 and 3.2 that made the file sizes explode up. Now, this is the unstripped size. So this is a configure developer build. So this has the debug symbol still in it. So it's a bit skewed. But still, I mean, looking at the size between 3.0 and current master, we're looking at about a 4 to 5-fold increase in file size. That's pretty rough, especially if you consider that, I mean, with the 3.0 binary, you could possibly get away with running it in, I don't know, a 32 to 64 megabytes of RAM machine. If your Samba binary alone is 32 megabytes, you probably won't, because somewhere there has to be a kernel. We didn't implement a kernel in Samba yet. Who knows? Now, for the stripped sizes, that gives you pretty much the same image. I just, at some point, realized that I actually wasn't looking at the stripped binaries and decided to like get another count. But unfortunately, it doesn't help too much. The only difference you can see, actually, if you flip to them back, is that for some reason, while the debug symbols are pretty large in 3.2, the stripped binary actually is pretty decently sized again, which is possibly the reason why 3.2 is also shipped on some of the NAS boxes, so it's not too bad yet. The 4.0 build is the autoconf build that was possible in Samba 4.0. The current master build is the file server statically built with a WAF setup. So just to get the overview again in a slightly more boring fashion, but easier to read the actual numbers. If we look at it, so sizes explode quite a bit. It's actually even worse if you look at the strict sizes, because then we have a 5.5 times increase in sizes. So this really, really, really sucks. And this is already like building with as many options disabled as possible. So the method I used for measuring this is configure developer build, because I never build Samba without this developer flags. But without ADS and without LDAP, and for the master build, I actually also threw in every other without whatever feature flag that I could find in the configure, because I decided I just really want to go for the SMBD binary. And then I basically went and both looked at the stripped and unstripped sizes, and that's how the chart was built. Now, the interesting question is, what the hell happened? Yeah, so why did we explode in size? So, I mean, for the current master build, this clearly is transferring some of the dependencies from the autoconf build to WAF, where we have been very liberal in adding many, many more things than we might have needed, because that was, so it was rather error on the add more stuff side, because that made it build faster than on the let's add them one by one and try to rebuild until it starts actually linking, which would have been the cleaner approach, but would have taken much more time. So looking at the output of the exported symbols in the binary from NM, from 3.0 to 3.2, we got an additional 3,000 exported symbols. From 3.2 to 4.0, we got an additional 10,000 symbols. Okay, so, I mean, there's a couple of releases between that I skipped, because I didn't want to, like, do the statistics and do the charts for all the different versions that we had between that. But still, that's quite a lot. And between 4.0 and 4.2, or, I mean, master, we have an additional 7,000 symbols that are added. I'm pretty sure we don't really need all of them. So, and this is already the build that uses the system Kerberos libraries, because if I don't use that build, I add another 5 megabytes of Heimdall Kerberos into my SMBD binary. That is built without ADS and without Active Directory support and whatever. So our build system at the moment is very happy to link in as many things as might be interesting at some point. It's not very good at actually honoring flags that say, yeah, I don't actually want this stuff. But again, this is because we don't test this. So in the process, I actually found that a couple of these options were broken and didn't even compile. So, yeah, I mean, I started with this a bit already. What can we do about it? I mean, the obvious thing to do is, well, let's go over all the symbols and see what libraries are linked in there that shouldn't be in there. So at the moment, even if I build without WinBind, I'm still linking in for the static build that I did for the master case. I'm linking in libwb client. I would argue without a WinBind, I don't need a WinBind client library. So obviously the logical consequence is teach the WAF build to actually also not build libwb client if we're not building with WinBind. And I think we can repeat the process for many, many other libraries that are in there that are not actually needed. Then there's a number of dependencies set that probably also are wrong. So while preparing parts of the talk on Tuesday night, Metz and me stumbled across like the static build not working at all because there was a Python dependency stuck in the wrong place. And because it can't link the Python library statically, that was failing the static build in the end. I mean, that was the annoying part for us, so we fixed it to get the static build to work. But, I mean, that was a symptom of the actual problem, which is we have a lot of dependencies that are stuck somewhere in the dependency chain and that just seem to happen to work, but they're not in the right place. So if you try to disable stuff, you have to like go through 15 different places in the dependency chain to disable stuff that all should be on a different level and should be able to like be automatically disabled with the configure flag. But at the moment, it doesn't work like that. So that really, really should be cleaned up in WAF. And then there's a couple of things where we just like don't have a without flag. So we like turn it on if the library is available while compiling it. So in principle, our code is set up to just survive building without that feature just fine. But we don't have a flag for it. So we can't say, yeah, well, just don't bother building it at all, even if the required external library is present. And I think for a small file server, so I mean, we really want to make this configurable, because I don't know what system some OEM is trying to build a minimal Samba for. I don't know if they want to have ACLs or not. I don't know if they want to have domain member features or not. But it should be possible to turn them off if they're not needed at compile time. It should be possible to, of course, have them in. And of course, yeah, something I haven't mentioned on the slide, but of course, going back to this untested options are broken options, we need some way to figure out when these options are failing. So I guess what we need for our auto build is some sort of a thing that then tries one more build with, I don't know, a set of randomized features. I mean, trying the complete matrix of all the combinations will be madness. But I mean, just like if once a day we build with a random feature turned on, random feature turned off, eventually we'll notice if something breaks in, I don't know, without Windbind or without Kerberos or without whatever. So this is probably also something that would need to be added to our test system. So yeah, during the preparation of this talk, I stumbled across a couple of the glaring things that really stopped me from like getting more data running a couple of tests. So I fixed those already. But this also seems to be like a fun project if I don't feel like working on DNS. So I'm actually looking forward to do some of the more things that I just suggested that would need to be done myself. So far I fixed the build without Windbind, but for some reason, is Volker in the audience? No, he's probably in the other talk. So Volker actually pushed the patch, but it didn't land in the main tree, possibly because our auto build system was acting up. But it's there in principle, and the static build fix that removes the Python dependency in the wrong place has already been pushed to the main tree. So we're done with that already. So that's what actually is building on the Raspberry Pi. So looking at some other things that are not on the immediate to-do list, but still part of the things that we would have to do or would be interesting to do is at the moment we're building a system in Samba where a lot of the extra services that we run actually are spun off as extra daemons. So you have a spools daemon for printing and you have an endpoint mapper daemon for the endpoint mapper and everything like that. That looks like a very, very good point where you can actually say, okay, interesting, but I don't run this, so I don't need the RAM to actually run the endpoint mapper if I don't do RPCs, or I don't want printing on the box, so let's just not start the print spooler and all of these. So that would be a very nice way to actually like plug and play or just connect together a Lego of Samba tools that you can have, and then as an OEM, if you actually want to build a box, you just select like I want these 5 features and the other features I don't care about, and we just start up these. So I'm pretty sure that there's other people working on the general principle for other reasons, but I think it might also be worth a look from the get Samba small, quick and dirty side of things. It's also very attractive to have. And yeah, so I mean, looking at a lot of traces for exported symbols that are in binaries that don't look like they belong there is going to be a longer project. but probably worthwhile doing. Having been involved in the port of Samba 3 to the WAF build, I know that a lot of things were, well, quickly done so we could prove that it worked, and they weren't necessarily nicely enough done, so that really needs revisiting at some point. And with that, so it looks like I'm done with my talk faster than Configure has run on the Raspberry Pi, which is why I didn't give the demo on the Raspberry Pi. We'd still be waiting for that. Anyway, with that, I'm done with my presentation part. So I would like to hear from people who are actually, so not only questions, but so if anybody is running Samba on a small system, I'm just doing this for a hobby, so I don't try to actually build a product out of that. If anybody here is building a product and is annoyed by the fact that Samba has grown quite huge in the recent times, I would like to hear some feedback of what you think is important in actually getting your work, oh, making your work harder than it should be, because that would be an obvious candidate to work on and fix first. So if there's any comments in that respect, please feel free to talk to me.
Nobody else is going. I've tried to catch up with you a couple of times by I compiled Samba on a Dockstar and tried running it there, and it worked, you know.
Sure.
But I think the first step that you've described here is identifying all the subsystems within Samba and their interconnectivity, both their logical and actual interconnectivity. So, for example, from a logical point of view, the spooling system is obviously something that should be able to be taken away. But then the physical, you know, when we compile, is it actually something we can take away without breaking things? That's an example. There are several more, but it'd be a good idea, a very good exercise, just to even identify all these pieces and understand what is the minimum set is that's necessary to provide file services, print services, etc. And if you ping me after I get back to the States, we can probably put something together on that. That'd be nice.
Yeah, so I think also, so I mean, at the moment I'm playing like disabling stuff at compile time, which is the more straightforward thing to do, because a lot of these components actually have some configure checks that if a certain library isn't there, it won't be built. So, I mean, turning off LDAP, for example, is as easy as uninstalling the LDAP development libraries, even if there wasn't an without LDAP flag. Yeah. So the code is actually built to survive LDAP not being present. So components like that are very, very easy to switch off at compile time. But like the more, so unless, of course, you want to do AD, because then, yeah, well, you need LDAP, period. But if you just want to build the file server, it doesn't care if LDAP is not around. So, but the nicer way of doing that would be to actually, well, have all these independent services be independent daemons, and then you can compile it. Because, I mean, yeah, flash storage isn't that expensive anymore. So if you can have it like on the device and the user can configure if they want printing or not, and you just like save a bit of RAM by not starting the spooler, that would be nice. And then you can still build it. I mean, yeah, I'm joking about the build time on this thing, but it's actually like if you've set up a proper environment, you're not building on the embedded device anyway. So I'm just doing that for kicks and because I have the time to just wait it out, because nobody cares if that thing is running for a day, because yeah, I don't even notice it. If I forget to turn off the screen on my PC, it takes up more energy than this thing. So, but for a proper setup, you don't care if you have to compile all these components. It's more like being able to not run them at runtime, because you might want to have the RAM for something else, like, I don't know, a BitTorrent client or something. Yeah. So for the NAS systems I've seen, I was mostly constrained by RAM and not by disk space, because, I mean, worst case, you have a hard drive in there, right? So you should have plenty of space.
So, I'm still interested in the logical versus actual divisions. you're finding actual divisions. You know, what can I compile without? What can I leave in? And that's very important. But I'd also like to know logically.
Yeah.
And if those sets are not the same, then we have additional issues that we can resolve.
Sure. Right?
Okay.
Oh, okay. So we're done.
You're not done yet.
So it took about 15 minutes, which is not too bad. But I'm still happy to take questions. I just was interested to see if the configure had finished. So I could start the make, and then we're here for tomorrow.
Yeah, you mentioned on the one side that there are many NAS boxes still running some 3.0 and 3.2. On the other side, you mentioned this is a hobby project of yours. Are you in any contact with any NAS vendors who are actually looking into running Samba 4 on the appliance?
No, I'm not, to be honest. I usually refer to Jeremy for all of this sort because he likes to invite people over to lunch at Google, and most of these NAS people actually are sitting in Silicon Valley anyway. And I think like communication over a free lunch usually works better anyway. I think this is something that once we actually get the binary size down again, I mean, at the moment we're in the process of figuring out that we are linking all of Heimdall Kerberos into the SMBD and then avoiding to do that. I mean, I got the binary size down by 5 megabytes, but still, I mean, we're far away from the old size. And I think we need to get a bit more going before we actually start to present that to people. So, I mean, at the moment, this talk was more like, we've noticed that there is a problem, and we're working on it, like a public statement that people can find and that we can refer people to. Like, yes, we're aware of the problem, and yes, this might be a bit more unusual use case than what we usually run and what we usually think about, but it still is a valid use case and somebody's looking at it. I think once we have a nice modular system, I think it would be really worth talking to a number of these people. And I know that a couple of them are actually following Samba development quite closely. So I expect that once we get a couple of more patches in and like do a nice announcement on the mailing list, they will actually notice even if I'm not talking to them in person. But yeah, it probably also would be worth to hit up a couple of them and say, hey, are you aware that we actually fixed this? But I'd like to fix it first.
Couple of things. Firstly, there may be an easy way to hit lots and lots of these vendors all at once, because there's a thing called the Taiwanese Industry Information Technology Institute, TIII, something like that. I'm talking to these guys, and they have an open source department. They've got 1,000 employees trying to make technology easier for Taiwanese companies to use. I kid you not. You know the story about MITI in Japan? They're trying to do that for IT in Taiwan. And they have quite a substantial open source department, I'm starting to talk to them, that goes and tries to understand open source and then present it to all these little manufacturers and more in Taiwan that do stuff. And they are actually interested in hearing about the next story of Samba. I have told them so far that there isn't such a thing because we're not very good at being focused on such matters, but that I would bring it up next time I could. So that's an open invitation for you or anyone you know that would like to make contact with NAS vendors in Taiwan is a good place to start, and there is a single point of contact.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's one thing. Send email. And the second thing is, question about architecture. Do you think that if we can continue this trend of thinking about Samba, how can we decompose it, move it into different processes and stuff, do you think that that is going to help address build tree issues as we do that?
I would hope so. I mean, so splitting it up in components, I think, is a worthwhile exercise by itself. I might be a bit partial to that because I'm also the author of the DNS implementation, and sometimes I'd like to just run that without having to bother with setting up too much of the other Samba stuff. And of course, it's possible, but you have to fiddle with the SMB config around a lot, and you have to disable tons of services, and then in the end, you, if you disable too much, the thing refuses to start, so it would be nice to have a bit more of a, I don't know, start Samba DNS, and it will just come up. It would be nice to have an architecture like that, and of course, well, if you have the Samba DNS running on the system anyway, why run, I don't know, another DNS server on your NAS box, because, or router. Yeah, let's just not take a NAS box for an example, but take a router that actually might want to run a DNS server. So, I think it's worthwhile to look at that for all of Samba anyway. And I think there's also, I mean, to not contradict myself too much with the previous talks, I mean, I've also told a lot of nice stories about use cases of running Active Directory on one of these things, if you actually want to have Active Directory. And I think OpenChange is making a nice point for that, because that's like the only reason I can think of why I would want to run Active Directory at home, is every smart something on every tablet I have knows how to talk to Exchange. And if I have an OpenChange server, I have like free calendar at home instantly, and I can run it on a thing like this. So, I mean, there might be a point for running other services on the small NAS box if it's not that small after all. And, I mean, the thing where we really want to go for NAS vendors, I guess, is to really have this sort of a Lego system where you say, okay, I want these components. And this doesn't have to be file server only, it can be Active Directory as well.
So, this is kind of interesting. In fact, there's some bloke giving a talk later on this afternoon about this. That isn't it funny that what clusters and clouds and large distributed networks want, which is Samba in lots of pieces loosely connected, might actually be a big help for the tiny end of things as well.
Yeah.
Producing independent binaries from a smaller build tree with a much smaller dependency tree.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about good architecture is that it should be good architecture on any scale. So, I mean, the if you want to build it for cloud scale, I mean, cloud usually just means you have a lot of machines. It doesn't have to be like, we're not talking, usually your cloud VMs are not like 1 terabyte of RAM each or whatever. So they're not like big boxes. You just have a lot of the small boxes. And as I said, I mean, I've built clouds with these things and it works. Yeah. So, you want to have a system that runs whatever you want to run.
So I mean, really what you're saying is we're basically the wrong architecture at every scale. I like it. That's my talk.
Okay, so you know what to see in the afternoon? Okay, so if there's nothing else, I guess we have another speaker who wants to start setting up, right?
You have been on time so much that we have 5 minutes left. So there's still an opportunity to grill him, or you could just grab a coffee and grill him outside with a coffee.
So I'm still happy to, of course, answer any questions.
Thank you very much for your talk.